Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
What we're learning in Exodus chapter 19 is God wants his people to be set apart and holy to him. And what we're going to learn throughout all of the Old Testament is we cannot get there on our own. He says to the people of Mount Sinai, if you will obey me, you will be my people. They will not obey him, and neither do we. The only way we can be his people is if we are made holy by the work of Christ.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. God intended for Israel to be a holy nation, that is, a nation of people set apart from the rest of the world, fit for his purposes. But just as making it to the Promised Land proved too difficult without some divine intervention, so too was the call to holiness for the Israelites, as well as the New Testament believer, if it wasn't for the intervening work of Christ on the cross. Let's join Pastor Greg now.
Live holy. If you like titles, that's the title. Live holy. Now some of you are going, what does it mean to be holy? Got a pair of jeans that are holy? What does that mean? And it's, of course, a very religious sounding word. And it ought to be a religious-sounding word. But although it has religious sort of connotations to it, it feels very churchy. It's not really that fancy of a word. Really, you can think about it this way. Holy just means something set apart and reserved for special use. If a table is reserved at a restaurant, it's set aside. It's made holy for whoever has reserved it. And so holiness here, as we're going to talk about, is just people who have intentionally, because of God's work and his revealing himself to them, have said, you know, I'm going to be set apart for God himself. And I want to look at a couple of different ways that we learn about this in Exodus chapter 19. Where we are at in Exodus, people have left Egypt. They've been freed from Egypt by God's power. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've wandered about in the wilderness for a few months. God has saved them from running out of water. He saved them from running out of food. He saved them from running out of more water. And he has saved them from the invasion of the Amalekites. And now they find themselves coming to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where God is going to make known himself to the people of Israel. And he's also going to give them a covenant, a promise. He's going to give them a promise. So look at Exodus 19. Beginning in verse 1, on the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, 3 months, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain. And while Moses went up to God, and the Lord called out to him out of the mountain, and he said this, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, you tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There's that word there. Holy nation, reserved for me, set apart for me. These are the words you shall speak to the people of Israel. And then Moses called to himself the elders and all the people. So here we go. Live holy because of God's promise. Live holy because of God's promise. He has made a promise to them. I've taken you out of Egypt, and I've carried you like people carried on eagle's wings. And now because of this promise I've made to you, I would like you to live holy. Maybe you can think about it this way. There are these singing competitions on television. You've seen like American Idol, The Voice. Are there other ones? I don't know. Those are the only two I'm familiar with. And so what happens is you get up and you sing, and then some people make it through and some people don't. And the people with really good voices allegedly make it through, and the people who don't have good voices don't. And so there might be a scene like this. They got 20 contestants on the stage, and they say, okay, Jimbo, Betty Sue, Tommy, and all, you step forward, and everybody else stay where you are, and then they'll say, all of those who stepped forward, you're safe. You're making it to the next round. Oh, yay! and they get all excited, but then they give them a challenge. They say, listen, you've made it to the next round, but now you've really entered the intensity. Now you're really going to have to step up your game, because now to stay in the competition, you're going to have to do even better than you have done before. You think you're safe, but now you're going to have to do better than ever. And this is a little bit of the message the people of Israel are getting here. God is saying, I've redeemed you out of Egypt. I've saved you out of slavery. I've brought you out of the Red Sea. I've brought you out of the wilderness. I have overcome for you everything. And now I want you to live holy because of this promise that I have made to you. What we discover about the people of God here is God was not merely trying to get them out of Egypt because it was a bad situation. Something bigger happened at the Red Sea than Israel merely escaping the Egyptians. You remember the Red Sea? The Egyptians were going to kill them, and God split the Red Sea and they passed through on dry land. We're tempted to think that was a big deal because they escaped the Egyptians. And what God is saying here is, that's not why I saved you. I brought you through the Red Sea because now you are my people. Look at verse 5 and 6. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. I have brought you through the Red Sea, God is saying, to bring you to me. I brought you through the Red Sea not to save your skin, not to save your necks. I brought you through the Red Sea to bring you to myself and to make you a holy nation. People who relate to God are priests. People who go to God are priests. So he says, I want you to be a kingdom of people who relate directly with me, God himself. I brought you through the Red Sea to be my people. And this is my covenant to you. Look at verse 5 now. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Now look here, do you see that big gigantic word? It's only two letters in there. What is it? If. Look again. If you will obey my covenant, if you will obey my voice. Just maybe you've read Exodus before, you've been here for some of these messages. How are they doing so far? This is a big if, isn't it? If you will do that one thing which so far you have really been lousy at, then you will be my covenant possession. You will be my people, a kingdom of priests. Immediately what we're discovering here in Exodus 19 is the people of Israel are going to be in the back of their mind going, uh-oh, we got a problem. He has called us to the Red Sea to be a holy people, and he has called us to relate to him by nature of our obedience. There is one thing we are not good at. Obedience. It would be easier if God would call us to do those things we want to do, because then I could do it all the time. The problem is God calls us to be set apart unto him, and his ways are different than our ways. The problem is, he says, live holy because I have made you a promise. If you obey me, you will be my people. If you obey me, I will hold on to you. If you obey me, you will be holy. And what is their response? Houston, we have a problem. And there is going to be a significant problem. Okay, let's turn to the New Testament to look at this just for a moment before we get back to the Ten Commandments. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter is talking here about Jesus, and he relates it to this passage that we're in. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. As you come to him, that is Christ, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, let's just pause there for a minute. Very similar language to what God was telling the people of Israel in Exodus 19. I want you to be my holy priesthood. And how do they do it? If you obey. Right? And what are you all saying, like they were saying? That's a problem. Now Jesus comes to us as a different kind of covenant, a new covenant, and look what it says. It's a little different. He says, you are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Same thing, isn't it? Do we need to be holy? Yes. Offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How? Through Jesus. See, there, do you see the change there? Exodus 19. If you will obey, you will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. How do they do? Read the rest of the Old Testament. How do they do? Not real great, but don't get too high on the hog there. You wouldn't do any better. So God, as was his plan, says, I've got an idea. How about if I make you a holy priesthood, acceptable not by your obedience, but instead acceptable through Christ's obedience? Now instead of saying, uh-oh, we say, okay, that sounds like a plan I can work with, doesn't it? Now I can be a part of the holy priesthood, a holy nation, but instead of it depending on my awesomeness, it depends on his awesomeness. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, it says this, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. How is Jesus a stone of stumbling? Because in the back of our mind, we are convinced, well, certainly I have to be good. Okay, Jesus, yes, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, it's awesome, but certainly I need to do my part. God reaches down halfway from heaven, I need to reach up to him, I need to do my bit, and we stumble over it. We're convinced that we have to impress God for him to be nice to us. We're convinced of this. So think of the last time you sinned really bad. Now, for most of you, it was months ago, I know. And then something bad happened. You lost your job, you got sick, you stubbed your toe, the dog bit you, I don't know what. No, okay, God, you got me back. All right, you're right. You're right. I've got to be good in order for you to be nice to me. Right? Do you ever do that in your head? None of you? Okay. The Bible says if we believe Christ, what are we? A holy priesthood, set apart unto God, not based on our own obedience, but rather based on Christ's obedience. Okay, let's finish 2 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading in verse 8, a stone of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Doesn't that sound like coming out of Egypt? We come out of slavery to sin, into slavery to Christ, into his marvelous light, and we get to remain there not because we are obedient. We get to remain there because he is obedient. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What we're learning in Exodus chapter 19 is God wants his people to be set apart and holy to him. And what we're going to learn throughout all of the Old Testament is we cannot get there on our own. He says to the people of Mount Sinai, if you will obey me, you will be my people. They will not obey him, and neither do we. The only way we can be his people is if he moves in such a way we are made holy by the work of Christ. So our identity, when we put our faith in Christ, is holy, is righteous, is his. We are identified as children of the King by virtue of his grace and by our faith. We trust him and we become holy and we can live in that holiness. And then we worship him by seeking to live in that identity. Live holy because of his promise. So holiness in our life is a result of what God has done for us to better our position because of the work of Christ. We put our faith in Christ and we receive holiness because Christ died on the cross and he says, when you believe me, you get made holy, you get made righteous. But our holiness is also intended to benefit God. We worship God, we recognize who God is by living our lives in accordance with the holiness he has given us. So we live holy, the second part of this, is for the one true God. Look at Exodus 19, 8 through the end of the chapter. Moses came and called the elders of the people, and he set before them all these words that God had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Don't laugh. If you read, don't laugh. They're trying. They're doing the best they can, okay? Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord, and because he's more gracious than you and me, he also didn't laugh. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, and the people may hear me speak to you. They may also believe you forever. And when Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said this to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day. On the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Verse 12, you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain and don't even touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain will be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he should be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he should not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain. He told the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments because he had said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it. The smoke of it went up like a smoke from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. Can you imagine this scene? The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And then the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, the people can't come up to Mount Sinai. You yourself warned us, saying, set limits on the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and warn them. Do not let the priests, let the people break through. So Moses went down to the people and told them, live holy, for this is the one true God. The whole idea of this scene is for God to descend upon this mountain for the people to say, this is God. He is God, I am not. He is holy, I am not. And what God is saying, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart to see and behold me. So he told them, wash your clothes, set yourself apart to focus intently on the presence of God. He tells those who are married, don't have sexual relations right now, because right now your focus should be on the presence of God on the mountain. You say, why would he do that? Now, I don't know if you've ever had dinner with the Queen of England. Anybody? I haven't, but I read an article about it, so it's the same. I guess there are rules you have to follow. There are rules about not slurping your Slurpee and all kinds of different things. But she follows particular rules about dining. One thing in particular, so if she comes to a meal and she's got a person sitting on her left and a person sitting on her right, during the first course of the meal, she'll talk to the person on her right. During the first course, whatever that is, right? During the second course of the meal, she will then talk to the person on her left. Well, it turns out one time this happened, first course, so she's eating daintily, whatever she does, and talking to the person on her right, and the person on her left felt excluded. She's like, hey, what's up? I wanted to talk to you about something that's important to me, a cause in the city. And she's like, wait till the second course. That's when I talk to you. But here God is saying, when you approach me, there's a particular way. I'm going to show up here. I'm going to make myself known to you. And you don't come in any old way. You will come to me in a manner particular to recognizing I am the God of the universe making myself known to you. Live holy because I am the one true God. Holiness is a manner of life that recognizes he is God, I am not, he is awesome, I should recognize that in my life. Holiness is recognizing God's otherness. And he is making himself known to us through Christ and through his word. And holiness in my life says, I recognize God, your highness and your otherness. You are not me, so my ways should be conformed to your ways. This is an intentional decision, an intentional focus to say, I want to honor God with my life merely because he is God. Now, many of us have not seen God descend on a mountain like Mount Sinai. It was so frightening, we're going to learn later. The people didn't even want to talk to God. They were so afraid. They said, Moses, you go for us. But what this is doing is saying, God is so God, and I am so not God. Holiness says, I want my life conformed to him versus the other way, which is, God, I want to figure out how to get you to fit into my life. Where does God fit into my life might be a question we would ask. Not out loud. But worship through holiness is saying, no. The question is not, does God fit into my life? The question is, how does my life fit into his? And Moses is going up on this mountain representing the people. He would go up on the mountain. You know, how many times did he have to climb this mountain? Up and back and up. And he goes up on the mountain. God shows up. He has to go down, and God says, make sure their clothes are clean. Make sure for the time being married couples aren't having sexual relations together. Make sure in this moment you're wholly focused and devoted on me. And Moses, make sure they understand the line not to cross, that they might properly recognize my otherness and my greatness. So Moses is going back and forth, acting as a mediator, a representative of God to his people, and a representative of the people to God. And Moses right now at this point is communicating to them, God is holy, you are not. Careful. Don't overstep. Look at verse 12 of Exodus 19. You shall set limits for the people all around. Take care. Don't go up the mountain or even touch it. Whoever touches it needs to be put to death. Whoever touches it has violated this. Why do they need a mediator? And the reason is this. God is God. He is holy. He is mighty. He is perfect. And what God is saying, so that you don't suffer wrath, you don't suffer judgment, Moses, you will act as the mediator here between your people and between me. Tell them not to approach too closely. If you approach too closely, you risk death. All right, let's go to the New Testament. I always like to refer to this where the New Testament talks about this. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Think about Jesus for a minute. He is the apostle, sent one, and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. So we're getting a comparison here between Jesus and Moses. Jesus was faithful, just like Moses was faithful. Verse 3, Jesus, though, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken of later. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in hope. So Moses acted as a mediator between God and his people on the mountain. And the author of Hebrews tells us Jesus is better. Because Moses came as a servant, Jesus comes as the Son. So he's a better mediator for us. He makes a better connection between God and us than Moses could make. Jesus is better than Moses, just like the builder of a house is better than the house itself. Just like the Son is worthy of more honor than the servant. Moses was faithful, but he could only be faithful as a servant. Jesus was faithful as the Son of God himself, building the bridge of a relationship between us and God himself.
Pastor Greg Spires has been describing for us not only God's high standard of holiness, but also the work of the mediator, Christ Jesus, as he's appointed in our place to be able to make us righteous before him. And we hope you'll be back for the next Lasting Hope, as there's more to come from this study of Exodus chapter 19. And we'd like to invite you to listen each week at this same time for more encouragement from God's Word. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. You know, this past year, and even into this year, we've seen so much chaos and unrest, along with uncertainty about our health and safety, and it's caused many to be anxious about life in the future. That's why Pastor Greg has written encouragement in his Lasting Hope newsletter. Each week he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will inspire and reassure you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. We also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Again, just go to lastinghope.org at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday, and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Once again, just go to lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message titled Live Holy. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.